Please take out your Bibles this morning and turn to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 10 through 17 this morning. It's verses 10 through 17, Exodus chapter 4. You know, if you don't ever go to the website, our church website, you might not even know that I do give my sermons titles. That's not where I put the emphasis of my time at all. Titles, I put 99.99% of my seeking the Lord into the actual text and preaching it, but they need titles. So the title of this one I gave is Anybody But Me, Lord. Anybody but me. As we come before the Lord's Word this morning, we let His Word speak to us. Contemplate that question. I know because I know my own heart, I know man's heart, we've all said it. Many times, most likely. But, as my brother TJ read, you know, the Lord's my shepherd. And as we sang, trust and obey, there's no other way. You know, we as the Lord's slaves, as His servants, and as His children, we must not say, anybody but me, Lord. We must come to the place of, yes, Lord, what will you have me do? And I know, right, I know whether, because I know who the Lord is and what He said in His Word, that He's actually speaking to each and every one of you. If you're His, He is calling you to something. Right? Because He's a shepherd. What's a shepherd do? He leads you. If He's leading you, you're going somewhere with Him. So where are you going this morning? What's the Lord calling you to do, and what are you perhaps resisting? I don't know your heart, but I know man's heart. Let the Lord's Word speak and settle this morning. He's gentle. He's good. But listen to Him. The Lord says in verse 10 of Exodus 4, Then Moses said to the Lord, Please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since Thou hast spoken to Thy servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him dumb or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then go! And I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say. But then he said, Please, Lord, now send the message by whomever Thou wilt. Then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. And he said, Is there not your brother Aaron the Levite? I know that he speaks fluently. And moreover, behold, he's coming to you out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. And you are to speak to him and put the words in his mouth. And I will be with your mouth and his mouth. And I will teach you what you are to do. Moreover, he shall speak for you to the people. And it shall come about that he shall be as a mouth for you. And you shall be as a God to him. And you shall take in your hand this staff, which you shall perform the signs. Let's pray together. And I ask you, pray with me. As I pray, let's unite our hearts and minds in prayer before the Lord, asking Him to speak. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as I even speak the word Father, I think of the privilege of being able to say Father. You would take a son of Belial, a son of the devil, a sinner at heart, and make him your own child. Put your own son to death to make it so. We can call you Father. Lord, as our Father, you are our good shepherd. You lead us. So, Father, I ask you to speak to our hearts this morning. hearts are so deceptive and unwilling at times, and we do live in fear and unbelief, and we got to have you move. So I pray you move through your word this morning, and God, I just hand it all over to you. You've got to speak. I can't convince anybody of anything, nor should I. But you can. And you will, according to your word of promise. So I pray you speak gently. And even that, I thank you that you already are so gentle with us and patient. So God, speak to each one of us right where we are. Wherever we're dwelling in our hearts, just peel back the questions and the excuses that we all give just to cover up the truth that we don't want to. Make the unwillingness willingness. All for your glory. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, we come to the last part, the last section, the end, if you will, of the story, the incredible story, in my mind, of Moses and God, and God speaking with Moses, this interaction that's been going on, we've been looking at for weeks. Amazing, think about it. God speaking with Moses from a burning bush. Moses is talking back to him, and he still is. God, through this, as we've been looking at, has revealed much about himself, not only to Moses, but to all who would read this passage and would see who God is. God has revealed much. And so at this point, since he has revealed much, and we've gone over it through several weeks, I want for just a moment, bear with me, just for a moment, I want to just sort of review who God has said he is so far. And so as I do that, I want you to just step back in your mind's eye and behold your God. Behold the Lord of glory. Who has God said he is? Who has God revealed himself to be? Well, God has revealed himself to be holy, first and foremost, hasn't he? This means that he is not only perfect and without sin, but that he is completely separate from us. He's not like us. Completely separate from his entire creation. He's other. God is also caring and compassionate to his people. He is concerned about you and where you're at right now. Even though it may not look to you like he is, he sees, he hears, and he cares. God is a God who saves his people. Praise the Lord. Even though we as his people are slaves, we're in bondage, and we can do nothing about that bondage. We are helpless. God comes down from his holy high throne, and he saves his people. God is also a God of presence. He is present with his people, and the only reason you're able to do anything he's called you to do is because he's with you. He's the power, not us. God is a good God. God has revealed himself to be worthy of worship. In fact, it's revealed that that's really the purpose for which he has set you free. So that you can freely worship him as he deserves to be worshipped. And along with that, God's revealed that he's a God of provision. He gives us everything we need. You know, we come to before God, we don't have anything. We forget that. We come into this world naked, and naked we go out of it. Anything in between, God's given to you. So he always provides, including what you need to worship him. So let us give to the God that's worthy of this worship. And last week we saw, didn't we, God's a God of patience. gentleness, and grace. Oftentimes we are so stubborn in our unbelief and our rebellion against the Lord, unless every time He just deals so gently with us and so patiently, you know, not like us. If you want to know how patient He is, just see how you react with those around you, especially your loved ones, when they wrong you. But God is not like that. And lastly, we saw God's got a power. Unlimited power that never diminishes, right? Because He revealed His name as the great I Am, we saw that He's never changing. That means His power never changed. So not only does He have the power over inanimate objects, and not only does He have the power over diseases, but power over life and death. And no matter when He exerts that power, it never diminishes. Because He's always the same, never changing. He's eternal, self-sufficient. There's no cause to this God. He is because He is. Brothers and sisters, this is who God has revealed Himself to be. And glorious is He. And you know, even though this is actually a lot to take in and digest even in one moment, this is just a drop in the bucket as to who God really is. You know that. God is infinite. We are finite. So it's so hard for us to understand all there is to God. There's so much more that we don't know. We'll always be learning about this Lord, about our God. And so as we come to this last part of the passage, right, let's keep looking. Let's keep seeking. Who does God say He is? His character, His person. So as we go through these verses 10 to 7, let's look and seek two characteristics of God, or two qualities of God, however you want to look at it. And of course, as we go through this, while I may not spell it out for you, it'll be there. What do we do with that? Right? How do we rightly respond to who God reveals Himself to be as His creatures, as His people? So who is God? First characteristic. God is a God who does not make mistakes. God is a God who does not make mistakes. Look, our focus will be verses 10 to 12. You follow with me and I'll flesh this out for you. We started last week. Remember, we have to think real quick. Where were we? Well, Moses last week gave his question to God. Well, what if, Lord, they won't listen to me? You want me to go speak? What if they don't? What if they won't? Even though God said they would, and God gently said, okay, Moses, I'll give you three signs. You give them these and they will believe. And now that takes us directly today, and we see Moses' next response. And his response is, but Lord, I can't. That's basically the response. He's fresh out of questions, right? There are no more questions here. It's just now, Lord, I can't. And here's why. I'm not an eloquent speaker, Lord. You know this. You know I'm not a man of words. That's the literal translation here. I'm not a man of words. Never have been. So this job calls for a man of eloquent speech. Obviously, you got to speak to this man, Pharaoh, and he's not going to want to do this. And so you got to really know what you're saying. And so, not me. Got a heavy tongue. Now, there's been a lot of speculation as to what Moses means by this. Right? What is this? I'm not a man of eloquent words. I'm not a man of words. I'm not an eloquent speech. My tongue's heavy. What does he mean? Well, one speculation is that Moses is just basically saying, well, you know, I'm not a good public speaker. You know, I get nervous in front of people. I'm just shy, and I'm on a stammer and stumble over my words. Right? Not the first time I've ever heard that one. Could be. Some people say Moses is just lying. He's not bad at speech, right? And they point to Acts chapter 7 and verse 22, where Stephen, before he's going to be martyred, is giving the history of Israel. And he says, Moses was a man powerful in word and deed. Now, could he be lying? Possibly. I mean, I know he's lying in his rationalization. We'll get to that, okay? But being a man of powerful in word and a man eloquent in speech is not the same thing. Doesn't have to be. You can have power in your words and not be a great public speaker. The Apostle Paul, I think, might have been one of those men. He was a man of powerful words, you got to admit. But you know in 2 Corinthians 10:10 it says he was accused of unskilled speech or contemptible speech. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? So possibly, but not convinced of that one. Some say that this Moses had a speech impediment. That what he's saying here, right, is that he actually had a stammer. That's possible. The Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, actually translates it that way. It says Moses stammered and stuttered. So that's possible. There's one more. Some believe that this is a language issue. I'm not convinced of any of them. This is the one I do lean toward the most, though, just to let you know. And here's why. Moses is dealing with two languages here, Hebrew and Egyptian. Very likely, I don't know, he may not have spoken Egyptian for about 40 years, regularly. So maybe he's a little rusty here. Maybe he never was that good at the second language. I'm not sure. Right? Aaron was his mouthpiece, eventually. So Moses spoke to him, possibly in Hebrew. Aaron translated into Egyptian for him. Possible. I don't know. But let's get to the point. Whatever the reason, Moses said he's not of eloquent speech. Whatever the reason that Moses says, I'm heavy of tongue, what he is saying here is, God, I'm not able to do what you're calling me to do. That's what he's saying. Now, I hope by this point, as we've seen Moses go through this, that you see that Moses is in excuse land by this point. I hope you see that. All right? This is what's underneath this is unwillingness. Matthew Henry, I want to quote him here. And the reason I wanted to give this quote is, if you know anything about, as I look at Matthew Henry a lot, and as he gives his commentary on the patriarchs and the prophets of the Old Testament, he will try to give them the benefit of the doubt. I mean, he goes out of his way to. I mean, Jacob was a rascal, and he tries to paint him in the best possible light every time, right? But even Matthew Henry says here of Moses, he said, we can no longer impute this to his humility and modesty, but must own that here was too much of cowardice, slothfulness, and unbelief. It's tough, isn't it? Moses was unwilling to do what God said to do, so he gave an excuse. Moses isn't alone. Not alone. Man, he's not even alone in the Bible, is he? I mean, Jeremiah gave almost the same excuse when God called him to be a prophet. Jeremiah said, I don't know how to speak, Lord. I'm just a youth. Moses isn't alone. Wasn't the first, won't be the last. This is where we dwell much of the time. I mean, we make the same excuse. I'm not a good public speaker. What if I won't know? What if I don't know what to say? Right? What if I can't answer their questions? What if I'll just stumble over my words? I've said all these before. I don't know. I have no idea. But it's very possible that some of you, maybe right now, using excuses like these or very similar, Lord, I can't do what you're telling me to do because I'm don't have the ability. Here's the truth that gets exposed in this passage. And it's very important, and we all need to understand this. Who you are, how you're made, how you're wired, how God made you is never a valid excuse to not do what the Lord calls you to do. That's hard to hear. And really, as the Lord has exposed my own heart, is just covering up the truth that I don't want to. you can never say, you know, when the Lord, and I'm not talking about anything, I'm just talking about going to the king of Egypt. I mean, that's a hard one. Excuses are going to fly from that one, right? But the Lord calls you to pray. The Lord calls you to fellowship. The Lord calls you to witness. Maybe just to a family member or the neighbor, much less going to the king of Egypt. Whatever the Lord's called you to do, clearly laid out in Scripture. Who you are, how you're made, how you're wired, never a valid excuse. Never. Well, how can I say that? You don't know me. You don't know my shortcomings. Well, the Lord's exposed it here. The Lord's given us two reasons why this is never a valid excuse. Two reasons. First reason is our main point. Verse 11. God doesn't make mistakes. Right? What? How did God respond to Moses when Moses said, Lord, I can't, I don't have the ability, I'm not a good speaker. Moses, did not make your mouth? Don't I make the deaf and the dumb? I make the blind and the seeing? Is it not I, the Lord, that does this thing? What's he telling Moses? He said, Moses, you can speak exactly how I made you to speak. So if I'm telling you to go speak, you can do it. I know what I'm doing. So when we tell the Lord, I can't do that because I... The Lord knows who you are. He knows how he made you. And he never calls us to do something that we actually don't have the ability to do. The truth is, it doesn't matter how we do it. It's just that we obey and we do it. We just give it to the Lord. Right? This is us. We look at us. The Lord calls us to do something and we immediately look to how we can do it. There's the problem. I'm right there with you. We start looking at ourselves and go, oh, I don't have that, or I don't have this, or, you know, the Lord's made me uniquely where this is very hard to do. Well, it may be hard, probably will be. The Lord sanctifies us through that, right? But our inabilities are never a reason. We must give them to the Lord and just serve him the best we can. Just do what he says. That's all he's asking you. You know, that's why he said, go, Moses! Daggone it, I made your mouth, now go! That's what he says, right? Lord wore me out in this passage, I'll tell you. There's never an excuse to not do what he's told us to do. I don't care how you're made. I don't care how shy you are. I don't care how well you can speak. I don't care how well you can do anything. God said, I made you exactly the way I made you. And so if I tell you to do something, just go do it. Truth is, our abilities are all limited. We don't have any abilities. Let the Lord gives them to us. They're all inabilities, really. And this is true even of our disabilities. Let's go a little further with this. Disabilities, you know, those things we classify as disabilities, we have a tendency, don't we? That if we or a loved one or someone we know has a disability, we start thinking, what went wrong? What's happened? This is not certainly how God meant it to be. We're going to have to do all we can to try to make things better. What are we going to do? Look, your disability is just as much by the will of God as your abilities. I think of the perfect example in Scripture of the man born blind in John chapter 9, right? He's blind. What do disciples automatically go to? What went wrong, Lord? Who's responsible for this? Did he sin? Did his parents sin? What in the world happened? And Jesus said, none of that. He was made blind, right? Because the Lord did say, who made the blind? He was made blind for the glory of God. And then he healed him and he glorified God. Did you know that's what every one of you are made, no matter who you are, how you're made? You're made for the glory of God, and he will glorify his name through you. He does not make mistakes. This will help change our perspective. There's another story that illustrates this, and it touched me, so I want to share it with you. It's about a pastor, you may have heard of him, he's sort of famous, Donald Gray Barnhouse. He was a pastor years ago at 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia. A lot of Presbyterian churches in Philadelphia. So he was a pastor there and a good one. And he was actually in the week in question visiting another church. And he was preaching a series of messages there every night. You know how they used to do that. You know, swap off and preach all night, you know, a week-long messages. Schedule the revival or whatever they were doing. But he was preaching those messages. And while he was there the whole time, the buzz, the talk was all about the minister's wife who was expecting any time their first child. That's exciting in a congregation. So they were talking about it. Well, the very last night that Dr. Barnhouse came to preach, the minister didn't show up, the host minister. And so he knew what happened, right? She's gone into labor. But what he didn't know is that the child was born with Down syndrome. So after the message, he goes to visit the minister, and the minister was devastated. He tells him, he says, Dr. Barnhouse, our child's a mongoloid. His words, not mine. He said, honestly, I don't know what I'm going to do, and I don't know what I'm going to tell my wife. Dr. Barnhouse looked at him and said, brother, do you not know that this is of the Lord? And he, guess what he did? He took him to Exodus chapter 4. And he said, did I not make your mouth? Who makes the deaf, the dumb, the blind, the seeing? Is it not I, the Lord? And the minister is like, demanded, show me this passage. And he takes him there and he starts studying it. While he's studying it, Dr. Barnhouse said to him, he said, do you not know Romans chapter 8 and that everything, including this mongoloid child, is for your good? And so by that time, the ministry goes to the hospital. And you know, by this, the wife hasn't seen the child yet. Different day, different time. And she hasn't seen the child. She's worried, what's wrong with, you know, something wrong. And the minister goes to his wife and he said, darling, the Lord has blessed us with the mongoloid child. You see how that switched? Well, once she stopped crying, she said, where'd you get that? And he takes her, Exodus chapter 4. And so she calls her mother. Mother, the Lord has blessed us with a mongoloid child. I don't know what the blessing is yet, but all I know is we're blessed. Amen? Change the perspective. The Lord will glorify His name through you, no matter how you are. He does not make mistakes. Now, the end of that story is that the next Sunday, when the minister got back in his pulpit, 70 nurses came from the hospital that mongoloid child was born in, and 30 of them came to faith in Christ. Did he have to do that? No, but he did. He glorified his name through that whole situation. God doesn't make mistakes. So you start looking at how you're made and how others are made, and you stop looking at them like they're a mistake and nothing can't be done with them, and you start seeing them for what they are. God has the situation under control. Does not make a mistake. And so if He's calling you to do something, He has not made a mistake with you. And how you're made is not a reason not to do it. Never. He doesn't call somebody to do something they cannot do. So that's the first reason. There's actually another reason why it's not a valid excuse. The next verse, verse 12. Your abilities don't even accomplish the mission anyway. Did you realize that? What's God say? God said, Moses, I will be with your mouth. There's the whole reason the mission will be accomplished. If He calls you to something, you aren't going to be able to do it anyway. You can't. The only way it happens is if God is with you. Notice, as Moses is dealing with Him like he did already, He's already told him this once. And He didn't say, Moses, you know what? You are a better speaker than that. You know that. Now quiet, stop being humble and admit that you're a good speaker and go speak and win the Pharaoh's heart. He didn't say that because that's not what's going to do it. And He didn't say, you know, right, you're right, Moses. you're not a very good speaker. It's going to be tough. But I'll tell you what, you and me together, we might get this, we can get through this. That's foolish, isn't it? But that's exactly what Moses was saying. You know? He's actually grumbling against the Lord. He said, Lord, you made me this way. I can't do it. It's your fault. Ugh. Lord wore me out through this passage. I've said them all. It's never a valid excuse. The Lord just did what he's got to do with all of us. He turned his attention off himself. It's where we all live, isn't it? Right? Even when God's calling him something, he's looking at me. Well, how can I do this? I can't. The Lord said, turn. Look to me. I shall do this thing. Just trust me and go. That's where we all need to be. All the time. Lord, I can't do it, but you can. Let me look to you. If you call me, I trust and obey. My abilities have nothing to do with God accomplishing anything. Let's trust that. That humbles us a little bit, doesn't it? I remember a pastor telling the story, reminded of that one. You know, he's pastor of a pretty big church, and actually he went on to be even a bigger church since he preached this message, but very good speaker. But he said one day he was up preaching and he had a cap on his tooth, and I can relate to that. I have a few of those. And he's speaking and it came loose while he's preaching, and while he's speaking it came forward out of his mouth and bounced off the pulpit and started just bounding down the aisle, you know, just right off in the front. It's like, you know, he said, I thought, well, that was horrible, you know, that message just. He said, at the end of that message, I forget how many said, but people come up, they were saved. He said, it reminded me I had nothing to do with how I perform, what I do, how I say it. It's God moves or he doesn't. It's not us. It's never us. God doesn't make mistakes. You see what I'm saying? God does not make mistakes. You were not a mistake. Made you exactly the way he wanted you to. And he will glorify his name through you. Trust him. Trust him. Second characteristic. God's a God who gets angry at his people. What did Moses say next? You think by this time he's at the point of, okay, Lord. But what does he say? He says, please, Lord, now send the message by whomever thou wilt. Basically, what he's saying is, Lord, send whoever you want, but not me. Send whoever you will. I do not want to go. Why? Why does Moses, the questions were there, the objections were there, but once God took everyone away, very gently and very patiently, Moses is left with nothing else but the truth of his heart. I don't want to go, Lord. I fear. Thus the title, Send Anybody But Me. Again, this is where we all live, isn't it? Moses is not an exception. Sometimes we look at this and go, wow, Moses, how can you be so blind and stubborn? And I know. We all dwell in this. Please don't send me. Please, anybody else. Just leave me alone, Lord. Just leave me alone. Again, Lord, even this week, use this passage on me. I had the sermon prepared. Going to preach this stuff. And then something happened. I won't go into the details, but I started, I can't do that, this, that. Right in the moment, and then 10 or 15 minutes, the Lord revealed the wickedness of my heart. And I was basically making excuses for why I didn't want to trust him and do what he said to do because I thought I knew best. I never know best. I have to trust what the Lord tells me because I'm blind. My heart's wicked. It's unwilling. Brothers and sisters, here's what we have to come to. Once the Lord reveals clearly what He wants us to do, we've got to trust. We've got to obey. Otherwise, we're left with nothing but rebellion. And you see the result of rebellion, right? It says, the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. That's a scary thought. I mean, he wasn't just angry, it burned. You know what that means, right? It's heated up. You know what that's like, right? When your anger starts to heat up toward an object. Now, before you get the wrong idea, I said the Lord gets angry with His people. This is different than, you know, the Scriptures tells us the Lord is angry with the wicked all day long. Scriptures tells us that. All right? That's a different kind of anger. This is more akin to our anger at our children when they rebel against us. Don't you get angry with that? At just the sheer rebellion in their hearts against you? That's a righteous anger. This is the Lord's righteous anger against Moses' rebellion at Him. It's not right. But you notice, right, that even in in the Lord's anger, it's still, even though it's similar to our anger toward children, it's not the same. Because His is without sin. It's perfect. Right? He didn't lose control. The Lord didn't lose His temper. You know, if this was us, I'm sure we'd have had a few lightning bolts coming out of our fingertips toward Moses by now. Praise God, we don't have that ability. But God didn't do that. He did exactly what needed to be done, even in anger. He did exactly what needed to be done to get Moses where he needed to be. And where did he need to be? He needed to be in obedience, right? But listen, my point with this, the Lord's going to get angry and He's going to get us where we need to be. But the quicker we obey, the less pain we'll endure, the less consequences we'll suffer. It's always best for us to obey early on. Because do you really want the Lord to do what's necessary to get you where you need to be? He will. I say that even here with Moses. I believe Aaron is a consequence for Moses' rebellion. Okay, Moses, you still don't believe me? Then take your brother and you go. And let him speak for you. Now, I say that, right, because Moses and Aaron was a blessing to Moses. We see that. It was his brother. I'm sure they enjoyed great companionship. But there were consequences for Moses not obeying the Lord the first time. This is a two-edged sword. These are mixed blessings, and we sometimes don't even see that, right? One, Moses still had to go do what he told him to do. He had to still go speak. But now he had to share that with Aaron, right? He had to share not only the honor, and that's some of it, but that's not even the most important thing. He had to share the intimacy with Aaron of the Lord. God said, "Now I won't be just with your mouth, but I'll be with your mouth, and I'll be with Aaron's mouth." And so now this is not him and his pure intimacy with the Lord, but this is with Aaron as well. I can't help but, you know, the reason he says he's a Levite, I'm going, Lord, would Moses have gotten the priesthood too if he'd obeyed? You know, Aaron got the priesthood, right? Moses is a Christ type. Understand this. He is the prophet, right? But a prophet is going to come after Moses who's like Moses. So Moses is a Christ type. He was a deliverer of his people. He was the intercessor of his people. But now Aaron gets to share in that too. And the priesthood will go through his name. I don't know, I'm speculating there, but I know it's always best to trust. Now, God's sovereign. Let's try to not go off the rails here. In the end, everything happens the way it's supposed to, right? But He will use these things to bring us under discipline to get us where we need to. It's very much like the Israelites when he told them to go and drive out all the enemies out of the land of Canaan. What did they do? Well, they partially obeyed. And they left some. What did God do? Okay, you don't believe me, I'll leave them. And they'll be a thorn in your side the rest of your life. And they were and they are. So brothers and sisters, let's trust the Lord. And the sooner the better. Can we not trust the one who put his own son to death for you? Can we not trust that what he calls us to do is the best for us? Can we not trust that if he calls us to do it, he's given us the ability? Can we not trust the Lord? Let's trust the Lord and do what he's calling us to do. As I said in the beginning, I know he's if he's your shepherd, he's leading you somewhere. Where is he leading you to? It could be anything. But odds are it's something you really don't want to do because he's calling you to die. So let's follow. And lastly, also realizing this whole consequence thing, even though we may not experience a real physical consequence in our life, we may not. Even though you may not. Somebody did. And that somebody's the Lord. Right? Disobedience is sin. And every sin was put upon the Lord Christ. And how does God react to sin? His anger burns. And so even if you didn't experience the unleashing of the hot anger of God, the Lord Jesus did. And this, on the one, isn't it ironic? He's the only one that never disobeyed the Father. Never once. He always trusted. He always did what God said to do the first time. Even in the garden, right? Even in the garden. When he knew what's coming, God's saying, finish this thing, son. Finish it. Go to the cross. Become the perfect sacrifice for the sin of your people. Redeem a people. Glorify your name. Finish this. Jesus didn't say, anybody but me, Lord. Said, if it's possible, take it away from me. I don't want to do this, but not my will, but thy will, Lord. Aren't you grateful this morning that you serve a Savior that always trusted the Father? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are good, and that never changes. Even in this world that we live is so fallen, and sin abounds, and rebellion is everywhere, and you're still good, and you're still in control. And for those who love you and are called according to your purpose, everything that enters into our life is allowed there by you or sent there directly by you, however we want to look at it, for our good. You don't make mistakes. How can we trust that? Look to Christ. If you've done that, we have no reason to fear and doubt. Everything is settled. There's nothing more difficult than taking away sin, and you've done that once and for all. So So God, help us to trust in these lesser things, in these much lesser things. So when you call us to move, to serve, to speak, to go, to whatever, we go because we trust. We're not looking to ourselves, but we're looking to you, the perfect one. And let us even right now, Father, lay this on you. If you're calling us to something and it's hard, it's supposed to be hard, but we got to leave it on, lay it on you. Lord, you told us your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Why is that? Well, you're doing all the work, but only if we give you the work. Help us to do that. Cause us to do that. All for your glory. I pray this in Jesus' name.